For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic, also joining us from IndyNation.com, Mike Coffey. Well, Coffey, I'll ask you first. I mean, conventional wisdom is that we should blow them out by like...
who are those conventions goers?
Well, if you listen to the Notre Dame fans, because Alabama pounded them, and you know we now have a top 10 win underneath our belt, and you know it's just the given that we should beat Michigan going into this game. But you know, obviously this is Notre Dame Michigan. I personally, my gut, it's not going to surprise me at all if we really struggle hard in the first half. I do think that, you know, the second half will end up pulling away, but wouldn't surprise me at all if we struggle early and maybe even get down 10 points. But I don't think it's going to be anything more than that, and I think the defense will hold. But you know, this is one of those games. This is no gimme for Notre
Dame. Yeah, no, we probably could have the same things over the last 2 years. There's the last 2 years we've gone in with a seeming advantage and really looking like we had our feet under us, and all of a sudden, Denard Robinson pulls something out of some convenient orifice, and we end up on the losing end. So, as there was a newspaper article earlier this week saying Robinson seems to save his best games for Notre Dame. So, the wild card of his involvement really concerns me.
Yeah, it's you know, Ed, if you know, obviously, I'm not coaching Notre Dame, and I don't know anything, but sitting here arguing about what I think they should do. But it seems pretty obvious to me that at least one idea of a game plan would be stick with rush in your front three. You got enough pressure last week against Michigan State. And then bring Fox or Spond or whoever and have him mirror Denard about 2 yards back, 3 yards back from the defensive rush.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. I mean, it sounds like if Michigan has a weakness so far this year, or at least a perceived weakness among the people who watch them, it's their offensive line hasn't really clicked. And so you want to kind of disrupt that a little bit. But yeah, I've always thought that the way to contain Denard is to just force him to throw the football standing still. your odds are better. Now, of course, that's worked really well for Notre Dame, except for the last 2-3 minutes of every game. But the you know, the defensive backfield, I think, is adequate for Notre Dame, and you know, good enough. I don't think Michigan has kind of all world receivers. They've got solid receivers. So yeah, if you can keep you know, Denard's rushing average to 5 yards or less over the course of the game, I think your chances are pretty good.
Yeah, for me, if you can keep Denard in the pocket and make him throw from the pocket, your chances are real, real good. If you're going to let him get outside and give him the opportunity to scramble and throw the ball deep down the field where it is one-on-one coverage. And granted, you know, last year, if you remember, I think two of those balls that he completed downfield were Harrison Smith misjudging or mistiming his jump, and you know, a ball that should have definitely been picked off wasn't, and it goes for 50 yards when they're deep in their hole. I mean, I think inside the 10-yard
line. Well, like all good defensive efforts, you know, it's really got to be a team effort and a team plan. I mean, one-on-one, Denard is going to break down Carlo Calabrese in space. He's going to break down Dan Fox in space, and he's probably going to break down Manti, you know, 5 out of 10 times, right? So there's got to be a little bit of assignment football with him, because he's gonna win one-on-one matchups in space most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've Coffey, what's your take on what do you expect out of the running game with Notre Dame against Michigan. Now, I will say I do think Sierre Woods going to touch the ball several more times than he did last week, which would be a good thing for
us. Oh, I certainly hope so. And I think if you're going to compare what Michigan State and Michigan have done so far outside of their Notre Dame contest, it's obvious that Michigan State's defense has performed better. So I'd like to think that against a defense that doesn't seem to be as talented, we'd be able to get the job done on the ground a lot easier. Now, having said that, it's always so hard to tell. We're still in the unofficial preseason where teams aren't necessarily playing opponents that really show what they have. Now, obviously, Michigan got throttled by Alabama, but I don't think Notre Dame is Alabama just yet. So I believe that I know you said that if you look at it as a war of attrition, first half the ground game might be tough, but I think by the time we get to the second half, Michigan will be worn down and it'll be easier to get the ball on the ground. I'd certainly hope that the offense keeps at it, even though maybe at the beginning it doesn't get the results they want.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to, again, as much as ever Golson did respond last week, and he needed to, he's now in a little bit different situation, but it's going to require just as much response from him in that, it's a night game at Notre Dame. That place will be jacked up to start the game. Any kind of hiccup from him, and I can hear the crowd moan as he comes back to the sideline. Now, it's to be expected. I think that as he enjoyed some success last week where he didn't turn the ball over, it's only natural that he's going to take maybe a little bit more of a chance this time. And maybe it is just when he's airing the ball out down the field, he's not going to be so nervous about throwing an interception he overthrows the guy. But clearly, I think that, every bit of Golson is going to have to be there, because if he does happen to turn the ball over early, Brian Kellen, he's going to have to meet him at the sideline and do it in such a way where Everett doesn't get rattled to the point where, oh, my God, here we go.
Forecast is rainy, windy, cool, so that'll probably play a little bit of a role. If it is like that, I'm not sure that really creates an advantage for either team, but it does make Denard's passes wobble a little bit more, and Everett's ability to kind of sling it on a line a little bit more valuable. Provided he gets a good grip on the football, I think he can get his throws, from sideline, from pocket to sideline and on the run a little bit. And I'm not sure he's going to be able to, it might be a game where it's determined by the passing game is kind of determined by which direction you're moving the football, in the first and third quarter versus the second and fourth quarter. So I don't know how windy it's going to be. It sounds like it's going to be pretty windy though. So that could definitely be an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that another thing that Notre Dame is going to need in a game like this, and we might actually see it, but they're going to need that kind of special team response, whether it's George Atkinson or, I do think our punt returns, even though we have fair caught several of them, we've also, at this point, I think three games into it, had as many yards as we did all of last year, if that's possible. But somehow, somewhere, they're going to have to need something from the special teams or maybe a pick. But without, without that kind of momentum, they're going to need that extra kick somewhere. And I do think they got it. I do think Notre Dame has it this year. And I would expect to see something in the line of a big, huge return on Atkinson or even something on the return side of the ball when it comes to punts. That's going to be key for Notre Dame, and they're going to need that, especially in conditions like that. Now, I will say that in conditions where it's rainy and windy, what that does is put all the pressure on that line of scrimmage. And the guys that control that in a game like that end up winning when it comes to the fourth quarter, because it's, more and more pressure is going to be put on that line of scrimmage and controlling it, controlling ball position, giving us a chance to push and push and push and back them up and back them up and back them up, and then ultimately, cut that field down to 60 yards and win the game of possession and the game of field position, especially if it's going to be like that. Are you going to the game, Ed, by the way?
I'm going to go. And I was just thinking, you know, the one before we kind of leave the subject of the matchups. I mean, one of the things that that does concern me a little bit is, you know, Slaughter is a pretty sure tackler. I mean, you know, he pretty much, and I you haven't seen that really from Farley yet. You've seen him whiff a couple times. You haven't really seen what he can do, and seen how physical a player he is. I mean, he's obviously a good athlete, but it does worry me a little bit because you have to have a sure tackling game against Michigan. I mean, they've got good athletes. They break tackles, and especially their quarterback is capable of wriggling out of difficult situations and getting extra yards after the first contact. So I think there'll be a fair amount of pressure on Farley and Zeke Mata to you know, to keep plays in front of them and to prevent the big chunk plays, as they call them these days. Where did that come from, by the way? Who invented this big chunk language? It kind of turns my stomach every time I hear it. You know, I mean, first of all, it was explosive plays. I mean, back in the day, I guess we used to just call them big plays, but now they feel like they've got to have a sexier adjective. So the chunk plays, I guess, will be important on Saturday, and the safeties always have a big role in preventing chunk plays, whether it's deep throws or you know, running plays that get to the second and third level. So that's going to be pretty interesting how Notre Dame's kind of patchwork safety and cornerback crew can keep those chunk plays to a minimum.
Yeah, you know, Coffey, I think that I mean, obviously we sit here and we look at this and we say, okay, look, all you got to do is contain Robinson. Don't let him get outside the tackles as best he can. And secondly, play zone defense so that he's throwing into space accurately as opposed to a man-to-man throw where he's just going to throw it up for grabs. I mean, other than that, what else do you see the game plan for Notre Dame, or what do you think Michigan's going to do to mix that up?
Well, I think they're going to try to get Saint involved if they can. Because what's critical for Michigan to win is they have to establish some kind of a ground threat. They can't, if Notre Dame can keep Denard Robinson contained with just their front three, the KLM, Nix, and Tuitt, if they can keep him contained with minimal help, then that just works to Notre Dame's favor, because that allows the linebackers to help where the help is needed. And if Michigan can't get anything going on the ground, then the linebackers can help out the depleted secondary, and it's just going to be that much harder for Michigan to move the ball. Now, if Michigan can really start moving the ball on offense on the ground, then we're in trouble, because the linebackers are going to have to move up more into run support, which means the cornerbacks are out more on an island. I agree with what you said about the zone and making them throw into space, but the key is having to put as much pressure on Robinson as possible, as well as he responds to pressure. The pressure's got to be there, because if you just let him make plays and not feel it, then he's the kind of leader that in the fourth quarter can really almost will his team to a win if that's what he has to do.
Yeah, I you know, one other thing that may not surprise me at all, Ed, would be if you see Golson move out of the pocket a little bit. I mean, I think that it's pretty obvious he had some success last week outside the pocket. And, you know, it's just one of those, as much as Brian Kelly loves his guys being in that pocket and orchestrating the offense from there, it would not surprise me at all if Notre Dame does a little bit of misdirection where Golson is outside the pocket with a better chance at seeing the field and going.
Yeah, and you know, Golson played Denard on the scout team preparation last year. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if Notre Dame tries to do a little to Michigan what, you know, what Michigan tries to do to teams. I mean, I think you might see the zone read a little bit more, and you'll see the kind of the quarterback draw, you know, a little bit more. And I think we might see Everett Golson kind of maybe have his quote-unquote best yardage, best running game so far as a Notre Dame quarterback. Because, you know, teams are going to have to, obviously after last week against Michigan State, I think Michigan's going to have to respect the throw. They're going to have to respect the deep ball a little bit. They're going to be interested to see how that, you know, they're going to be prepared for that. So I think we might see Golson take off a few more times, and actually some designed plays for him to get yardage with his legs, in addition to, and also I think the conditions might dictate that a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him having maybe between between 5 and 10 just pure designed running plays for Everett Golson, which has not happened so far in the first three games.
Yeah, I would agree with you. In fact, that, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all if Michigan's game plan is actually almost the same thing as Notre Dame's, where they're going to make Everett throw the football. You know, I don't think Michigan is looking at this saying, hey, look, we're going to bring pressure on Everett Golson, and that's going to be the difference for this game because he can't handle the pressure. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they just play a stout, you know, zone up front defense even, and not care too much about getting big time pressure on the quarterback, and force Golson to thread his throws every bit as much as we're going to do the same to Denard. Now, I think Michigan needs that a heck of a lot more than Notre Dame does, because it's not going to surprise me at all if we're effective running the football against Michigan. But in that situation, I mean, it's going to put some pressure on Golson if he's dropping back and seeing seven guys. And forcing him, which is all the more reason why I think you want Everett rolling out. Give him some space, give him some time, give him a chance to see the field without feeling the pressure. And, you know, he's shown he's had some success with
that. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting because, you know, last week, obviously, the game plan was come out, throw it, loosen it up, stretch the field a little bit. Show that Everett can throw the ball to set up the run, which started to pay off in the second half. So, yeah, you're right. I'm curious, you know, if Michigan will kind of take the same approach that Michigan State did, kind of daring us to move the ball via Everett's arm, and then so we're going to have to hit those short routes, hit those outs. And I really think that I'd be really surprised if we're talking about this game on Sunday evening and Tyler Eifert hasn't had a pretty key role in the game. I don't think an All-American like that goes more than a week or two without having a pretty dramatic impact on the outcome of a game. So I think we'll see him worked into the offense, and a little bit more respect now that teams have to have for the rest of our receiving core. So I think we'll see that kind of funnel some throws and some plays to Eifert.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing I think that I'd like to see, and it's, you know, going into it this early in the season, the only real knock I've seen on Golson is on his down and outs. He tends to throw the ball a little bit late. He's got to have confidence in his guys running the right routes so that he's actually releasing the ball as the guy, the receiver's making his cut. It seems like he's been a little way too late and seeing the guy turn and then throwing it, which gives the cornerback just way too much time to react. So I think that if there's anything I'd like to see, it'd be that, number one, Golson being a little bit crisper on his down and outs. But then again, too, just getting outside, getting him out of the pocket a little bit, especially in a game like this. And you know, Notre Dame has, what, turned the ball over three times all year so far. If there's anything they can do and take care of the football, I just don't, as much as I think this may be a grind out for the first half and maybe a little bit into the second, I can't see it stand that way the entire game if we're taking care of the football. Coffee, what do you think? Give me a prediction as to where that's going.
Well, I think especially if the weather conditions are bad, I think we're going to see maybe a couple more turnovers than we've seen so far this year. But in the end, I think we can hang on and think we're going to win 24-23.
Ooh, tight ball game. Ed, what do you think?
Oh, gosh. I hate predicting Notre Dame, Michigan. It's like, you know, there's we've kind of come up with some god-awful ways to. I mean, the law of averages would suggest a rather workmanlike kind of relatively boring game compared to what we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, you know, Michigan's got a lot to prove. I mean, they were kind of even not just in the top 10, but got a couple top 5 votes. They did not really show up against Alabama, although I think that's, you know, it's really interesting because somebody wrote this week, and I can't remember where I read it, but it's much harder to get a read, I think, on Michigan than to get one on Notre Dame so far. You know, Alabama, dominant team, could possibly run the table, kind of go down as just a great college football team, and I don't know anybody in the country that would have really matched up too well outside of, you know, maybe an LSU or something like that. Then they go and they play Air Force, which is always kind of an outlier type game because of the different offense, and you're not really kind of sure, and you have a week to prepare, and you kind of breathe a sigh of relief when you get out of there with a win. Air Force always fields good football teams, and then you play Massachusetts, which is kind of like, you know, you probably could have it's kind of like playing, you know, Penn High School or Marion High School. I mean, you don't really get a real good feel for your team because you could kind of roll out your third string there and probably come away with a 3-touchdown win. So you've kind of had the extremes, and you're not really sure what you've got. So I think Michigan will kind of flounder a little bit. I think that, and I hate saying this, but I think Notre Dame's running game is going to be the key, and I could see us getting 200 yards rushing and controlling the ball. And if we can do that without turning it over, which of course has been our Achilles heel, I think Notre Dame can win this game. I'll say 29-16.
All right. Well, I'm certainly not going to be as pessimistic as the Wall Street Journal, but they pointed out that in the last 10 games between these two teams, 8 times the underdog has come away with a victory. But certainly I'm not in that camp. But I would say that I do think that, all things considered, we don't turn the ball over. And I agree with you, Ed. I do think we're going to run the ball. I mean, I see Sierra Wood getting a lot of touches, and I think that if things bode well, we will rush for 150 yards to 200 yards. But I think, you know, it'll be tight early, and then we'll pull away. So I'm going to go with 24-14 as the final score. But, Michigan is going to come into this, so there's a lot riding on this game for them. And as you said, you know, their identity, I think, is going to hinge on this football game. Losing to Alabama is one thing, but, the Air Force Academy, I don't put a lot into that game, just as you said, because of what you're dealing with in a one-week preparation for that kind of game.
Yeah, it's kind of like their BCS game, isn't it? Their BCS determinant game, right? I mean, if they lose this game, they're really kind of just playing for the Big Ten championship because the Big Ten looks a little bit soft this year, and I don't think that they're going to get an invite, with 3 losses. Maybe not even with 2. So if they lose to Alabama and Notre Dame, and even if they run the table from here, it's possible they wouldn't end up in a BCS game. So I think there's a lot to play for Michigan. Although I don't know how these Big Ten teams run their programs, or Brady Hoke. I mean, does he kind of look at this that way? Does he talk to his team about BCS possibilities, or is it really just all Big Ten conference focused, and this is just, you know, kind of like a rivalry game? I think it's huge for both teams. It's Michigan Notre Dame. It's at night, and it's a huge recruiting weekend for both teams. They compete for a lot of the same guys. I think recruits that are looking at both teams that are at the game, they love to see a team come on the road and beat somebody in their house. They like to see how teams carry themselves on the road. For recruits that are leading Notre Dame, you know, a good performance, a strong performance, you know, we might have a couple commitments by the end of the weekend. So it's the usual stuff. It'll be a barn burner.
Yep. Yeah, I'm expecting so. All right, good. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dumb and Dumber, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanek and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.